One of the most important performers in rock and roll going back to the 70s, Bonnie Raitt, is back with a new album. It is her 19th. It's called Slipstream, and it's her first in 7 years. It's largely a covers album. It includes a couple of Bob Dylan songs and a few Joe Henry songs, which seems right because Joe Henry produced the record. Bonnie's career stretches back to her debut in 1971, and of course she's had her share of ups and downs through 40 years in the music industry. The Cafe's Michaela Majune went to Electric Lady Studios in New York City to talk with Bonnie, and she's just started off by saying, your 19th album?
Yeah, well, 16th studio, and then we've got the live ones and a lot of little things that we added some things to. So for me, it feels like 19.
What a catalog. And it's your first in a while. It's been 7 years since
your last CD. It's usually five or so because you tour for 2 years once the record comes out. And then you don't even get a break for a couple of years. And then if you go back again, if it's really doing well and you double bill in the summer to pick up the fans that couldn't get tickets the first time. So we overlapped really for 3 years. And then my brother was fighting brain cancer, and he got another tumor, and I wanted to spend as much time with him as I could. He was having a really rough time. He passed away, unfortunately, and my friend Stephen Bruton, a great singer-songwriter, guitarist, who used to be in my band and, of course, was loved by musicians and was one of the writers of the songs on Crazy Heart, the Jeff Bridges movie. He passed away a month after that, and so I just really wanted to take some time off after the Taj Mahal tour we did in 2009. So I wasn't really off until 2010 when I really took a hiatus. And then this last year has been mostly about making the record.
You're such a busy person in so many different ways, which I hope to ask you about. When you're not actually out on the road or recording, do you still play every day?
No. I play when people get together and it's kind of a fun thing. And sometimes I'll play just to keep my chops up. And then for me, I write and play the guitar when it's time to learn new songs. And that's pretty much, I'm not normally a person that sits around and plays.
Bonnie Raitt is our guest today on the World Cafe with a great new album called Slipstream, brand new. And the first single from it is Right Down the Line. It is a new version of that song written by Jerry Rafferty. Did you know him?
I didn't, and unfortunately, he passed away last year before we cut the song. I've been planning to record it, and I was so excited to have him hear it and get to meet him when we went on tour, and unfortunately, he passed away.
Nice touch to put a reggae beat on the song. Was that your idea?
Yes, it was, but the song actually has a kind of a lilting reggae beat, the original, which this kind of more syncopated rock and roll version was something that just came to me when I heard it a few years ago, and I went, God, I know just how our band's going to play this, and I played it for him, and that was one of the first things we picked.
It seems like it would be a big wedding song. It will be if it isn't already. I mean, the sentiment is just so wonderful.
It's really a beautiful. His writing is so complex, and the bridge of this song is as beautiful as anything. He's just so musical, like my friend Paul Brady or Paul Simon. Cut above the usual songwriters.
I think we need a World Cafe version of this song. Will you do it with the band?
We're happy to do it. We love playing it. We're getting ready to go on the road, so this will be a fabulous debut on the radio of a live version of Right Down the Line.
Never leave. When I wanted
That's Bonnie Raitt and her band, Right Down the Line. She has a new album called Slipstream. And why don't you introduce the band?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of these guys have been with me 25, 30 years, so it's my pleasure to introduce them in terms of seniority. Hutch Hutchinson on bass with me since 1983, Ricky Fattar, and he plays incredible drums, and George Marinelli, he's a great singer, can cover all the different styles, as can Ricky and Hutch. Great guitar player, and most exciting new member of our band is Mike Finnegan. He's a legendary B3 player and R&B singer.
And he fits right in just watching you guys in the studio. I mean, there's such camaraderie. There's so much fun. And you have a great life.
I'm telling you. I mean, when the homework of doing the record and the promo and all that is done, the rehearsals and the videos and all that, the going to class part of the year is the part that's really fun on the road.
There's one line in that song, "You're as constant as a northern star," and every time I hear it, I think of Joni Mitchell's "A Case of You."
Oh.
Remember, she says, "Just before our love got lost, you said I'm as constant as a northern star, and I said constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar."
Isn't that a great song?
Such a great, and I wonder if Jerry Rafferty.
That is so cool. I wonder. I don't know if his wife is alive. I know his daughter Martha wrote and really loved our version, and I'll have to ask her if she knows. Maybe somebody in the Jerry Rafferty, you know, super fan club would know if he was influenced by that.
You made a video for this song that is really lovely.
Thank
with
you.
All kinds of images of couples, all kinds of couples.
Yeah, that was quite deliberate. I love Steve Lippman's work. He's worked with Kate E. Lang and Emmy Lou and Dolly Parton and Carly and, you know, made some. And Joe Henry was the one who turned me on to him. And, you know, we talked about the concept of really including as many different age groups and races and genders and sexual preferences to just show what abiding love and true, you know, that soulful connection. We used real regular people that we just got in San Francisco. It was great.
Beautiful people, really.
Thank you.
You know, in a very earthy, kind mm-hmm. of down-to-earth, present way.
Yeah, and he said, and interestingly, he said that the people that made out the most passionately were the older couple.
Yeah.
It was fantastic. I mean, I haven't seen the other footage. He said, believe me, I had to edit it. It was, you know, grab a towel, yeah.
Well, let's talk about Joe Henry. This is the first time you've worked with him.
Yes.
You produced some of the tracks. He produced some others.
Mm-hmm.
And how did that come about?
Well, after my hiatus, which, you know, after losing my parents in 2004 and 2005, and then my brother's illness and their illnesses leading up to their passing, it was just really a time for me to pull back from thinking about anything about a new record and what was my plans. I just told everybody to take a break. And I knew that about, summertime of 2010, I was starting to get itchy when I went to a Jackson Browne show and saw a couple other friends of mine. And I, you know, so relieved not to sit in for the previous time. But then I just went, you know, I can feel this starting to spring up and maybe I'll, you know, look at my songs. And I knew I wanted to cut You Can't Fail Me Now. And then there's probably a couple of other Joe ones. And I had the idea of maybe recording at his house because I'd read a lot of interviews about how special that was. And I was about to call him when I got a message, as it was years ago with Don Was, and then later Mitchell Froom. You know, the first initial phone call was just so wonderful, exchanging, oh, my God, you love those guys too, and what about this song, and what do you hear us doing together? And it was a very welcome entry into being me again professionally. You know, it was just a real come a music base. It wasn't calculating, you know, if this was a good career move. It was just totally artistic, and we just hit it off so well. And the days in the studio, we were going to just do, you know, two or three songs maybe around Bill Frisell's schedule and the other guys. And, you know, we kept going. I just said, well, what, you know, there's another one of your tunes, Joe, that I'd love to try while we got everybody here. So we ended up cutting 9 songs in basically a day, and then maybe 2 the next.
So you have other songs that are not on this album.
Yeah, right? And we're going to put them out later.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it was a thrilling reentry for me. It was really jump-started me wanting to get back in the studio with my guys, and then I already had 3 or 4 songs, so I knew I wanted to do it in 2 pieces because Joe's approach and Joe's type of music would not really lend itself to things like Split Decision or the rock and roll songs or the R&B songs. That's not what you'd go to Joe Henry's house for, so... they're very disparate, but we decided that if Ryan wanted to do my record as an engineer, Ryan Freeland. He is really the key, that and the sequence, to make these two very disparate sessions try to fit together. Because the ones we did with my guys were at Ocean Way. They were a totally different sounding band, different kind of music. And he, because of Ryan's genius, I think he was able to seamlessly make it sound like one piece.
And what else did Joe bring to the process? I mean, he brought the place and the players in a particular, atmosphere?
Well, yeah, atmosphere and vibe. I mean, you know, when you record in someone's home, when they have a home studio in his place, it's a beautiful old kind of, I won't say mansion, but a manor kind of a house that was commissioned by President Garfield's wife after he was shot. She wanted to move after get away from Ohio, and she moved out, and that's the house they lived in. So Joe and his family got it, and he's done a lot of his recording, and it's just warm and evocative and really like old school, you know, really not like a regular L.A. recording studio. So the vibe of the place, the vibe of him, the thrill of having that band and Joe and Bill Frisell there was just palpable.
Did Madonna drop by at all? He's married to Madonna's sister.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I think that, I mean, I'm sure they see each other all the time, but not.
I've always tried to imagine Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, right.
Family. Bonnie Raitt is our guest today on The World Cafe, and we're talking about her new album, Slipstream. Now, a lot of the writers on this album, you mentioned George Marinelli, your bandmate and guitarist. And you actually, didn't you co-write that song?
Yeah, I wrote the words, and my friend Randall Bramlett, who wrote Used to Rule the World, the opening track, which we're going to do today, he contributed the second half of the first verse, and we talked about the concept of the song, and I said, I have this idea, you know, based on, you know, we all know somebody that whines about why their life isn't working when they just refuse to look at the reasons why they keep making the wrong choices. I don't know about you, but I know I've been guilty of it myself, you know, until someone said, do you see a pattern here, Bonnie, you know? So he came up with that great line, step out on the track in the pouring rain, and when it gets run over, you blame the train.
And that's one of a bunch of songs on this record that pull no punches. I mean, they really are kind of direct, and like Million Miles is one, and Used to Rule the World. I mean, there's an ouch factor.
Well, Used to Rule the World's a little bemused, you know. I mean, I don't know about, you know, when you get to this point of even in your 40s, I mean, I'm 62 now, but, you know, you really think you had a plan, and, you know, what do they say, how to make God laugh, just tell her your plans, you know. I think about it as well as the arrogance and hubris of us as a country in the first world, quote unquote, you know, of thinking we can go along and using our resources and whoever is in the 1%, thinking that we can just go around with that kind of a distribution of the goods in this country. We used to, quote unquote, rule the world. I don't think so, you know.
Let's hear that one. It's a great song.
Thank you so much.
Doctor feel good, sleeping on a concrete bench. Can I get a witness? I miss South Carolina, 1975. Somebody stole your crown. You were sleeping in your happy home. Your life had come and gone. Now you're mystified, standing with the rest of us, who used to rule the world. Brother Lovejoy, you put up a blue streak. Can I get a witness? Miss Hurricane, can't keep your hands still long enough to count your chain. Cross your mind. Now you're mystified, standing with the rest of us, who used to rule the world. Thank you. the blueprint. Used to have it figured out. Now you can't find a car. I miss cocktail dress, standing at the bathroom sink, looking for a back way out. You can't believe your very eyes. Everything you were counting on is nothing but a pack of lies. Now you're mystified, standing with the rest of us.
Bonnie Raitt and a great band live in the studio with Used to Rule the World, a song that is on Slipstream, her latest album. More conversation with Michaela Majoun and music coming up. Bonnie Raitt on The World Cafe. Bonnie Raitt, our guest today on The World Cafe. More conversation with Michaela Majoun coming up after this live version of another song from Slipstream. This is Not 'Cause I Wanted To.
Troubled mind, no matter where I go, they're never far behind. And I like to think that you've forgiven me, but forgiveness ain't enough to wash my conscience clean. Oh, and if I knew I want
on the World Cafe. Bonnie Raitt in the studio today. We're actually at Avatar Studio in New York City with her band, and that's not because I wanted to. A beautiful ballad that you sing so well.
Al Anderson co-wrote it with Bonnie Bishop. It's just, you know, one of his best. He's a great songwriter.
Your dedication to the blues, of course, has been lifelong, and it is a classic musical form. Do you remember the first blues tune you played?
Yeah, I think it was probably Spider and the Fly by the Rolling Stones. I played Under My Thumb and Spider and the Fly in my room when I was like a teenager. And then I loved Howlin' Wolf and loved Muddy Waters. I had an older brother, like a lot of us with siblings that were already in college. They'd come home at Thanksgiving and bring their record collection, and you know, that's how I got into Johnny Hooker and Muddy Waters.
Well, it wasn't too much longer after that that you were opening for these great blues players. I mean, how did that happen?
In my freshman year at Harvard, I met a guy who was friends with Dick Waterman, who was the guy that managed Buddy Guy and Junior Wells, brought them out of Chicago. He had helped rediscover Son House, the father of Delta Blues, who taught Robert Johnson. So he collated all of these great artists in one agency, Avalon Productions, so that the club owners couldn't we've already had our black blues artist for the month. Why should we pay $500 for him when I can get Booker White for $400? You know, this way they were being taken care of by somebody who really cared about the long drives and how to get them off the bus and to pick them up and make sure they got something to eat and, you know, handle the press so they weren't too tired when they got to the festival. And so I really admired Dick for that. And I met him my freshman year, and he introduced me to all these wonderful blues artists. It was, aside from being the daughter of John Raitt, you know, meeting Dick Waterman and having the entree to all those blues guys was one of the greatest gifts.
But being the daughter of John Raitt didn't help you in the blues field?
Not really, no. Different.
Did it help you in your career?
It helped me fall in love with working at night and not having to have a regular job. And I mean, he was an incredible inspiration. They both were, for integrity and Quaker activism mixed with music and making every show count. And they were incredibly supportive of me, which was great. I mean, nobody expected that I would do this for a living, including me.
You've been in the music industry in a pretty male part of the music industry. Did you ever feel sexism along the way?
No, because I came up at a time when the feminist movement was just bursting, you know, like, you know, whether it was our sexual rights to have, you know, the same kind of satisfaction or, you know, equality in the food co-op. I mean, we were battling against sexism and the anti-war movement and the, you know, all of that. So, I mean, as a tomboy and somebody that really was aware of not wanting to be treated any different, I was very lucky that early on I asked for everything on my terms with my record deal. You know, otherwise I wasn't interested in signing. I said, you know, if anything, because I play guitar the way I do, it was unusual for a woman, and I probably got my foot in the door more than if I had just been a singer. Because
blues guitar bottlenecks.
Yeah, I mean, I think not only was it was sexism the other way. I mean, it was a benefit. So there's a lot of sexism in the sense of how many women managers and heads of record labels are there 40 years in? Not a lot. But in terms of women artists, I think there's always been respect for women. I don't think it's a quantitative thing. It's a qualitative. There's always, you know, Judy Collins, Joan Baez were always really
right.
Popular.
Were few women playing rock guitar. Ellen McElwain comes to mind.
Yeah, she played kind of folk slide guitar, too. There's a lot more women instrumentalists now. Yeah.
Mind,
well, there's been a lot of women songwriters that play guitar, but lead guitar, blues guitars is kind of a male thing, but doesn't have to be.
Case in point, Bonnie Raitt.
Yeah.
Let's go out with one of your hits.
Oh,
this session.
You know, I thought about all the ones that we wanted to do and our band, you know, at rehearsals. We just love this song. I mean, I know it's one of my favorites that I've ever recorded. It's called Love Sneaking Up on You. And if you want to dance out, here it is. Turn cold, cold sweat.
up, I come sneaking up on your blind side. Might as well, baby, stop the rain. Stand in a trap of a runaway train. Can't fight it when this thing is meant to be. Come on, let's finish what started with me.
Great to hear that. Love Sneaking Up on You, live in Electric Lady Studio in New York City from Bonnie Raitt. Our thanks to Bonnie and to Michaela Majune, Bonnie Raitt, our guest here on The World Cafe.